May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus went home and nothing went right. You ever had that happen? He taught in his hometown synagogue, and people who had known him since he was this high rejected him. They were astounded by his teaching, and they still rejected him. How could a simple carpenter who had grown up within their sight have wisdom and power? How could this man, Jesus, whose brothers and sisters lived right down the street, have anything to share with them? How could he have more wisdom than they themselves had? I'm sure you've heard the saying, you can't go home again. There's a lot of truth in that. No matter how long you are away, home has changed since you were gone, and you have changed. Nothing stays the same. So even if you do go home, it's not the same as it was before. I wonder what Jesus thought about going home at this part of his ministry. I wonder if he knew that this would be one of the hardest audiences in his ministry. His hometown folk could not see Jesus as he really was. They had a fixed idea about him, and anything that did not fit that idea, that image, they dismissed. And so they were blind to God's work. They did not have ears to hear or eyes to see what God was offering them in Jesus. And Mark tells us that he could do no deed of power there except for a few laying on of hands and healing. I've always thought that was rather strange. But then I thought about how God has worked in my life, which most of the time I see in hindsight, not necessarily while it's happening. And I thought about how I've heard other people describe how God has worked in their life and my observations of that, and it makes a little more sense. Because God never forces us to do anything. God offers us grace. God offers us relationship. God offers us love. God offers us these things in numerous ways, over and over and over, and we always have a choice as to how we respond. I don't know about you, but I can think of some times in my life when I have turned away from grace, when my turning away from a particular opportunity of grace delayed some healing that might have begun earlier. God will never force us to do anything. St. Augustine wrote, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." And Hildegard of Bingen said, "We are co-creators with God." So because the people in Jesus' hometown refused to change their way of seeing, because they refused to cooperate with the work of God going on right in their midst, Jesus moved on to other places that might be more receptive. And after this hometown failure, Jesus gave the disciples a way to handle the failure that they too would inevitably experience. But first of all, he sent them out with nothing except a walking staff. No food, no money, no extra clothes, so that they would be completely dependent upon the hospitality of others. They would have to learn how difficult it is to be the recipient of hospitality. Yesterday, we had a wonderful 4th of July picnic here in the parish hall, an act of hospitality of this parish. Many of you participated in that or were leaders in that. It was the second time we've done this after the picnic in Temple Terrace, the parade in Temple Terrace, which goes right past our church. We opened up our church so people could come in and use the restrooms, get some cool water, and then we invited everybody in for a picnic afterwards, hot dogs and potluck. This was the second time we've done this. As I said, it was an idea that was brought to life by Jennifer and Scott Cook and the help of many others. And it was a wonderful way for our parish to offer hospitality to our community. We had a number of guests attend. As far as I could tell by looking around at the tables, mostly family and friends or neighbors of parishioners, which is fine. But there was at least one table, one whole table of folks that I didn't recognize at all. So I think they were people who took us up on our offer of hospitality without probably any prior connection to this community. It's really difficult to do that. Think about it. When was the last time when you accepted something from a complete stranger or a group with which you had no connection? Sometimes we think we're afraid to do that because we're afraid there's some strings attached or we're suspicious about it. It's so much easier to be in control, isn't it? To be the host than to be the guest. And yet hospitality is an art, and when we practice it well, as I think we do many times in this parish, we can also share God's love. I had interesting experience of being the recipient of hospitality some years ago. I thought about it a lot. It was when I was on sabbatical in Maine in 2006. And the part of the sabbatical where I was just with the boys, who were then 8 and 12, and we were connecting with my extended family in Northern California. I had not seen some of those cousins for 15 to 20 years because they'd been on the West Coast, I'd been on the East Coast, and my mother lives 500 miles south of them, so when we went to visit her, we didn't have time to go up and see them. So it was really interesting watching my children interact with my cousins and their families, most of whom had never met my children. We had a good time with everyone, but there were some marked differences in the experiences, and that's where I started thinking about more about hospitality. Now, my cousin Tim and his wife Marilyn had no children, but they had an adorable golden retriever named Piper who stole all our hearts. And Tim and Marilyn didn't quite know what to do with all the boy energy, but Piper did. And Hugh and Franklin managed to completely wear her out on the beach, throwing the ball for her into the bay from a beach that was inside of the Golden Gate Bridge. On that trip, Franklin and Hugh had definite ideas about which houses were the most fun. The two that they picked as favorites out of five, I think, were also my favorites. And it wasn't just the fun aspect. That's how they described it. But the places that the boys felt the most comfortable and at home, the places they felt most able to be themselves, were the two homes that excelled at hospitality. And by that, it doesn't necessarily mean the cleanest house, the best food, the nicest beds. In some of the places to sleep, places we visited, we did have beds to sleep in, but not in the kids' favorite houses. There we slept on the sofas. So I'm talking about something else when I'm talking about hospitality. I like Henry Nouwen's definition. Hospitality involves creating a place that truly welcomes the stranger. Hospitality makes room for guests, values their uniqueness, and lets them be themselves. Hospitality does not create unreasonable expectations of the guests. And the two homes in which we experienced the greatest amount of hospitality were very different. One was on my mother's side of the family, and they already had met my children when they were young. One was on my dad's side, and I hadn't seen that cousin in probably 20 years. One home was very loosely structured, and one had much more structure. But the thing they had in common was a particular feeling. When we were there, we got a feeling that both families were delighted that we were there. Both families were truly enjoying their role as hosts. And not only that, both families were able to talk about difficult things. These were the households in which the most serious and deepest conversations took place, at least between the adults. Both of these families were able to tell the truth. One shared with me a very worrisome, undiagnosed health problem and all the anxieties that go along with that. And another shared some old family stories, some of them painful stories that I had not heard before. It's said that children and animals are a true judge of character. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. Children and animals pick up on subtle cues that some of us lose the ability to read as we grow older. Body language, a person or place's energy, the way people express or hide emotions. Groups of people, communities, parishes, over time, develop their own character, their own feeling tone. I think you know what I mean. If you've visited different churches, you've experienced that. Different churches have a different feel to the community. Even just going to people's houses, being a guest in their house for the first time. When the words that are said do not match the actions, the feelings, and the character of the group, it is not true hospitality. The one family in our extended family that we visited who took us out to dinner and gave us our own beds, actually we experienced as the least hospitable place because the underlying message we got was that we were a burden to them. Now, in fairness to them, we visited them at a really bad time. I think we really were a burden to them. But instead of us all talking about that somehow or acknowledging the difficulty, we all tried too hard to be polite. And that cut us off from any real deep conversation we might have had. Hospitality is an art. And it has to do with making room for the guest, for the stranger, and with being truthful. So back to this gospel. Jesus has sent the pairs of disciples out ahead of him into the world as a kind of advance guard for his visit to many places. And he tells them to rely completely on the hospitality of the people they meet. They will have to be vulnerable. They will have to be, as Paul says, they will have to be weak. They will have to receive so that God's power can show through them. If people welcome you, he said to them, stay there, heal the sick, and proclaim the kingdom of God. But he also gives them a ritual to use in case they're not welcomed into a community. If people do not welcome you, he says, do not stay there or try to heal. Simply shake the dust off your feet as you leave and go on to the next place. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that as we think about our own efforts at evangelization out in the world. There are people who are ready to listen, who are open to whatever message we might want to share. There are people who are not ready for whatever reason, not open at this time. Jesus says, if they are open to you, minister there. If they are not, shake the dust off your feet. Go on to the next place. Don't let it stop you. We have just elected a new presiding bishop in our church. I'm very excited about the Right Reverend Michael B. Curry, who's been bishop for 15 years in North Carolina. He is an African American person. He is an incredible preacher. And he, in one of his talks I listened to on YouTube, said basically the same thing that I quoted from Augustine in this sermon. He is calling the church, us, all of us, to go into the world and spread the good news of Christ. He also said, God without us will not. We without God cannot, but together we can minister in the world, bring the love of Christ into this broken world. So that, I believe, is our call from today's gospel.